Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello and welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. For Melbourne International Games Week, I decided to celebrate by talking to as many people as possible. GCAP gave me the opportunity to talk to a whole lot of different developers for a brief time, hence the last episode being a multi-layered experience. However, I also got the opportunity throughout the week to have some longer, more fleshed-out conversations with a couple of developers residing in the lovely city of Melbourne. For this episode, I got the chance to talk to Woody, currently a producer for Beethoven and Dinosaur, who are known for their BAFTA-winning title The Artful Escape, and previously a producer for League of Geeks on their digital board game Armello. He's also got a dangly earring and is in a punk band, so I felt like he'd be the perfect person to answer a timeless question. Are video games cool now?
My name is Woody. I work at Beethoven and Dinosaur. I'm a producer.
You're a producer.
Yeah.
Let's go back to baby Woody.
Yeah.
Little baby, just born.
Yeah.
At what point did you get into video games?
Almost immediately.
Immediately? Out of the womb?
Well, I heard the machine in the room and it was beeping.
Yeah.
And I was like, obviously, I want to beep too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'm a gamer baby.
You're a gamer baby? And yeah. it was fresh out the womb?
Yeah. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay to lie.
Am I allowed to lie on this?
The thing is, you're not defaming. You're kind of just like telling a lie.
It's like a fun one.
It's fun. It's a joke. It's goofy. It's
that's
nice.
Fine. That's fine.
You're fine.
We like that.
Yeah. But at what age did you get into games?
I have a moderately bad memory from concussions, so I'm going to do my best to remember.
Okay. I shouldn't laugh. I'm so
no,
sorry.
No, I mean, it's funny.
Sorry
but
about
also,
the concussions.
But honestly, I'll forget if you laughed, so.
I'm so sorry about your concussions.
That's okay. That was fine. Mm. That was a different time.
Okay.
I reckon I would have been 10 or 9, and I got I remember it, like that nice, like deep indigo kind of color, Game Boy color.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Yellow for Christmas.
Nice.
And I woke up. I played like games at other people's houses. That was like when I first like had my own one. And I remember I like did the old like, I'm not asleep. I saw you come in and put presents in my room, Santa.
Yeah.
And then I got up and played Pokemon Yellow and it was the best.
Mm. What point did you realize Santa wasn't real?
Before that.
Before that? So yeah. At that point you were like, I know who this is coming into
yes.
the house.
Yes. Hello, Father.
Yeah. Hello, Mother.
Hello, Father.
Hello,
Santa.
Fuck. Right. So you were a smart kid?
No.
Okay.
Just devoid of wonder. Fantasy and magic and wonder in my life. Yeah.
No whimsy.
No whimsy. Living a very clinical life. My life's like in a spreadsheet.
That sucks.
Spreadsheet without any merge cells. It's very down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Or it's like a spreadsheet that like I would make, for example, and I'm not good at Excel.
Mm.
So it's kind of just like, it's not how you really use a spreadsheet at all.
Yeah.
But I've done it and I've tried.
When I'm at work, which I am.
I've heard this.
I'm very, very professional with my spreadsheets. But when I'm like doing like a travel spreadsheet, where I'm like, I'm going to go overseas and here's the things I'll do. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
It just looks like a pile of junk thrown onto a page.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think as long as you can get the correct information out of it, if just any information whatsoever. It's a fine.
Numbers,
it's a
fine letters.
Yeah. And so.
Sorry, we went into spreadsheets.
Yeah. I mean, it's an easy topic to fall into.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. I'm constantly talking about spreadsheets.
Yeah, me too.
So you started with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like many. I feel like so many game devs I know started with Pokemon.
Yeah, that was definitely the first one. I was like, this is my one. I remember that distinctly. Yeah.
And so. At what point did that interest in games turn into interest in game development?
Very late.
Very late.
Yeah. This is my 10th year in video games, working in video games.
Mm.
But I tried like a bunch of stuff before I was like, basically I was like, I guess I'll give games a go because I've always enjoyed them. And what's better than, you know, turning my hobby and thing I enjoy into a job so I can end up hating it, which hasn't happened yet.
That's good.
Yeah. But huge. I did like heaps of stuff. Photography, music production. I was like a tradie.
Was that where the concussions
happened? No, they were before that. That was when I was a rugby player.
You're a rugby player?
Yeah, for like 10 years. Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't know that. How did I not know that about you?
I mean, I am from Queensland. There's not much else to do there.
Oh my God, true.
You go to the beach and then you play rugby and then you get coward punched in the back of the head.
Yeah.
In Cavill Avenue and Service Paradise. There's the three things that happen. Or Fortitude Valley in Brisbane. Yeah. You can do that too. You can get that. That can happen there too.
And you become a game developer.
Yeah. But yeah, I tried a bunch of stuff and then nothing was really sticking. And then I was kind of like, oh, had a short-lived DJ career. That was great.
Oh, I assumed that of you.
Yeah. But like, you know, I was like an old DJ.
Mm. Records? Sorry.
Tapes.
Yeah,
just tapes.
Cool.
Yeah. I just wind them back.
Yeah. Be kind, rewind, right?
Yeah.
That's what I've always said.
That's what will now be saying.
Mantra to live by.
Yeah. Yeah. Tried a bunch of stuff and then nothing was really sticking. And then I was like, I guess I'll give games a go. And I was in that era of all universities and private colleges and stuff being like, come do a games design course because that'll definitely get you a job as a game designer because there's heaps of game design jobs in Australia. Wink. They actually say wink.
They say wink?
They say wink.
I believe that.
Yeah. Did you wink or just say, say wink? Wink. So I did that and I won't say where I went.
Is it because you're about to say something bad about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can you defame a place?
That's done bad things?
Yeah.
That's already defamed itself?
Yeah.
I mean.
I think you can defame people, but you can defame a company.
Yeah. And they're definitely a company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just call it like Bing Bong Academy.
That's actually exactly what it's called.
Oh, shit. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I graduated from Bing Bong.
I got my degree from Bing Bong.
This place, they were like, you know, all game design grades, it was all the marketing back then, come be a designer or whatever. And then, yeah, it just like was, at no point did they tell you there's like 4 game design jobs in Australia at that point. Mm. And this was 10, 11 years ago now. So our intake was 140 people. There was people standing up at the back of the lectures and stuff. Because there wasn't enough seats.
Oh, God.
I want you to guess how many of us graduated.
140.
Is that right? 140 to start.
In the class.
In the intake.
I'm going to go with, was it a private university? Public?
Private.
Okay. I'm going to go with 20.
Is that your final answer?
30. I'll be generous.
4 people.
4?
4.
4 people?
4 people.
I was being way too generous.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, combo of things. Also, I was like a mature student then, and I was like, what, 22 or 23? Like, other people in the class were giving me shit for being like the old guy. And I was like, yeah, like 22 and a half. And during my last like year there or something like that, I got a... Do you want me just to keep going on this whole history lesson thing?
Of course I do.
Yeah, okay. I got a internship at League of Geeks.
Yeah,
And it was a paid internship. Let me just make that very clear. So I was working there 2 or 3 days a week, and then also at uni at that point. And then, yeah, that was working on Armello back in the day. Armello, Game of the Year 2015.
Oh, love that.
I don't think it was.
Was it?
I don't think so.
But like some kind of Game of the Year?
I won something.
Yeah, that's good.
Someone was like...
I wouldn't know. I was not... See, you want to hear something funny? I don't know. I was just not privy to anything until 2021.
Oh, you were like the little monkey who covers his eyes, but then you also had ones over your ears.
And also my mouth.
And also your mouth.
No, not my mouth. I still talked a lot of shit. I just couldn't see or hear.
You weren't privy, but others were privy to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People knew.
People knew. You didn't know.
Not who I was. People just knew.
People knew. People knew.
Exactly. So I just wasn't a part of the industry until 2021, technically.
Yeah.
And when I say the industry, I mean games media.
Yeah.
Because I think games media and the games industry are somewhat separate.
I mean...
I know a lot of people who are in games media go into the games industry.
Does a lot happen the other way?
I don't know. I know that Ali McLean has written articles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But like, because I mean, would you consider Margaret and David to be a part of the film industry?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bad example.
I mean,
how about the nostalgia critic to be a part? No, because he's made movies. Mm. Oh, that's so rough. Okay. But yeah, would you consider someone doing a review on Letterboxd to be a part of the film industry?
Yeah, definitely. I also consider people who leave like Google reviews of like, say, a Hoyt Cinema
to be a part of the,
film industry. Yeah,
okay.
They're like, film was good, but the carpet was too thin for my feet.
Yeah, but when I sat down, it was wet.
2 stars.
It was also me.
Oh, then they'd be like 5 stars. Yeah.
But I mean, okay, in that case, we are part of the game.
Yeah, I think so.
I played games and was, you know, I was playing big games, right? And I played the odd indie game here and there.
Yeah.
And met very niche game developers over time. But it wasn't until I actually started writing for Kotaku that I became privy to the local industry, right? So there's so much I don't know.
Yeah.
I only learned about Armello once you started talking about it to me.
As in right now?
No, the other day.
Yeah, like maybe like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me 7 years ago. 8 years ago.
What was it like working on Armello?
It was good. It was fun. Mm. I mean, back then Log was very, very little. There was like maybe like 9 or 10 of us and maybe a couple of external contractors. I don't really remember.
Pretty cool that they could do a paid internship.
Yeah, it was fun. Sorry. It was good. Like it was of that era where finally people were like, hey, maybe unpaid internships are bad.
Mm.
Maybe that's bad. Mm. Maybe we should pay people for their labor opposed to being like, you're lucky to be here. Now clean up my foot scum. Mm.
Mm. Which I had to do at my internship.
Yeah, I mean, I do it for free.
Oh, I love doing it.
It's a hobby for me.
Yeah. So that's
I love doing
that's
it.
Your job here.
Yeah, I've got a special like a little brush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foot scum guy. Yeah. That's what they call you.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, Armello came out and I missed my graduation because I was in Seattle launching the game at PAX West.
Wow.
Which I think was like a real, bit of a proof in the pudding situation.
Mm.
Is that the saying, proof in the pudding?
The proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it is, do you bite it?
What's the proof?
Do you eat like around
what's,
it?
What's the proof in the pudding?
Like is it like an avocado seed?
Is it like a black pudding?
I don't know. I'm not a real pudding guy. I'm not really pudding pilled.
I wouldn't say that I've pudding maxed, but like I am dessert pilled.
Yeah, okay.
But I wouldn't say I'm pudding maxed.
I'm not dessert pilled. Someone's like, do you want a dessert? I'm like, I'd rather like a cup of warm water.
I do go hard, like dummy hard for like if I have a nice fulfilling meal,
yeah.
A dinner meal.
A dinner meal.
An Italian dinner, perhaps.
Yes.
I love having a little espresso afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm a savory palate.
Yeah.
So like I'd love a little which is the one you have after dinner, not aperitif, the drink you have after dinner, digestive.
Oh, yeah.
Digestive.
Digestive.
I like to digest
and it's a,
Steve.
So what it is, it's like a tiny little cup and there's a little man inside. Yeah, his name,
believe it or not,
is always Steve.
Always Steve.
Always Steve. And he says, drink me, drink me. I'll help your tummy.
And he hops in your tummy and he punches the food.
Karate chops it and just kicks it.
He's mashing the food.
And yeah. and then you've got a great digestive system.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
You've got a digestive system.
You've got a digestive. He's kind of like worms.
Yes, he's worms. He's sorry, worms. Actually, sorry. I'm thinking of worms.
Yeah, after every meal, I love to just get worms.
Yeah, I'm thinking of worms, and I yep, and they put them in, and then I have them.
So I, as a child, sorry, as a youngin, to divert for a second, I remember seeing that episode of Futurama where Fry had worms.
Yes,
and he became a better guy because of it, because they were all inside him fixing him up. They fixed his brain.
Yeah, that's right. They were cleaning the pipes.
Yes. He became a smarter guy, a more eloquent guy, and became more fit because they were taking care of his body.
Yep.
And in my mind, as a child,
you're like,
I was like,
work.
I think we all need worms. I think we all got to get worms. So I did not understand for the life of me why I had to take that worming chocolate when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was like, isn't it going to make me good?
Mom, every month, why am I having a worming tablet at the same time the dog does?
Yeah. Isn't it going to fix me? That worming chocolate, though, was actually like a treat.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. This is a worming chocolate.
I think I've probably had one of those in my life.
Yeah. I had them as a kid because, you know, children get worms.
Yeah.
And my mom's a naturopath. So we were a healthy, healthy family. And treats were fruit and stuff like that. I like so that. I love fruit. I'm a fruit girl.
Oh, I'm a big fruiter.
We've had
I'm a real fruity guy. Let me just say that much.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm a fruity guy. Yeah. We've had many a conversation about this. A
couple of fruity guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a couple of fruity guys. Apple, banana. Wow, wow, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll
have an orange.
I will have an orange.
You show me an orange, I'll have it.
Oh my God. Many have seen me.
How do you peel an orange? What's your technique?
I start with my teeth.
Okay.
Take a little bite into the skin just to break it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I peel it kind of like you would a mandarin.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and then I bite off the chunky bit.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of keeps it all together.
The bit that looks like a metal band logo.
Yes.
The stringy bit.
Yes, yeah. The whole cover. The orange hole cover. Yep. The hole protector.
Yep.
I bite off the hole protector.
Oh, the sewer lid of the orange.
Yes. Bite that off. Throw it away. If it's got little bits of orange on it, I'll eat that.
Okay.
Throw it away.
Yeah.
And then I just take it apart like a mandarin.
Yeah, nice.
How about you?
I slice.
Oh.
Slice evenly. And then I'll like bite the end of the slice so it like kind of
comes apart
a little bit. And then I'll kind of like peel it with my thumb like underneath the good bit.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw away the good bit and then just put the orange peel in my mouth and then smile at people. So I can be like,
mm-hmm. like the Godfather. Yeah. And then you die.
And then I die.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like when I explain to people how I eat an orange, they're like, are you an animal?
Have you done the orange in the shower thing? I know it's like an old thing now.
Like eating an orange in the shower?
Yeah. Cause like you just get the orange in the shower and you can just rip into it like a beast. Cause you're in the shower. It doesn't matter if you're getting juice all over you and then all the citrus gets in all the steam and it feels good.
Could you say that about like any food? Maybe that shower guy on Twitter has a point. Cause like if you eat something in the shower, like you can just wash it off.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't take a cake into the shower, but you could.
You could. Like, you're allowed. No one can stop you.
You could take a cold ice cream cake into a hot shower and just really go at it.
What happens there, though? Because, like, does it melt?
I think most of it would just get washed away. Yeah. And you'd be eating watery cake.
But you don't put it in the water.
No, you do put it in the water.
Okay. In that case, it would get wet.
It's about this experience of getting to rip into food like some kind of unshackled by the reality of the world, beast. And then the juices go into the air.
Well, I did that. I've done that once.
It's good.
I don't think I did it as like having the act in my mind as something that is regularly done. I did it because I was really depressed.
Oh, okay.
I was in a really weird place. And I was just like, you know what? I can do anything. And
like,
I did.
Like, I'm already at the bottom. What's a shower? Yeah. What's an
orange in the shower?
What's an orange in the shower going to do?
Exactly. And it just made me feel really good.
Yeah.
I got two things done really quickly.
That's good. A shower and orange.
Exactly. So where were we?
Mellow. That came out in 2015.
Yes.
And then that was good. And then we took that around the States a lot to all the PAXs and that kind of stuff. And I feel very privileged to be able to do that as part of my job.
Yeah.
And that was fun. A pigeon fell out of the sky right in front of me in Seattle once, outside PAX West. And just landed on the footpath and was like,
dead?
It was still alive. And everyone was just looking at it. And I was like, someone's got to help this guy. So I put my jacket off and I picked him up and I took him off the side. And then when I came back out for like get some air later on, he was gone. So either someone ate him or he flew away. I like to think he flew away.
I like to hope he flew away.
Yeah, I think he flew away.
Yeah, I'm a big pigeon lover.
Did that for a while and I mellow had a bunch of DLCs and that was really fun. And then eventually myself and Darcy ended up, we were like co-running Armello for a while the studio was working on other stuff as well, which we're also involved in, which I can't talk about. and then that was really fun. And we did a cool expansion called the Dragon Clan that was all about lizards. People love a lizard.
Mm.
They love a lizard.
I love lizards.
People love a lizard.
I live for it.
And then I don't remember much because COVID happened.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had a few months off, or I'm not sure, some amount of time. And now I work at Beethoven and Dinosaur, who made The Artful Escape, which I also worked on.
Yeah.
And that did pretty well. People like it.
Yeah.
And
won an award.
Won an award. Mm-hmm. One of those little, that little gold face.
Yeah. Do you have that yet?
No. Still waiting.
How long has it been?
I think we won in 2021. There was production issues, apparently. I think that's all I can say.
Yeah. Okay. Legally.
Legally, honestly. Yeah. It's very official. We have the envelope.
Yeah. Oh, I believe you. I watched it.
I watched it too and immediately was like, damn, we should have gone.
Mm.
But even if
I think I was messaging you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was. We were live messaging each other and I was like.
And I was like.
Yeah. Beautiful moment.
Even if you're nominated, you have to buy a ticket.
What?
Yeah, it's £1,000. Or it was.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know if it works the same way for the film and TV ones. Wouldn't surprise me if they don't have to pay, but you know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Oh, well. And then Artful came out and that was good. And then we didn't do any DLC for that because why would we? We were going to do a DLC where you just run the opposite direction for the whole game. Like the whole game's the same, but you just run right to left instead of left to right.
Right.
Yeah.
To left.
Yeah.
Left to right.
Yeah.
But like right as left and left as right. Is correct. That right?
Yes. No, it's left.
Is that? Ooh, very good. Very funny.
Wordplay.
Yeah. And why did you decide against it?
Against what? That
doing that.
That DLC.
Yeah.
We just couldn't make it work. It was too hard.
That's fair.
Yeah. It was too complex.
Really?
Yeah. We couldn't make it work. Yeah.
Huh. I wouldn't. But like, do you have control binding? Like optional?
Oh, like, no, like, I mean, like, it didn't work, like, conceptually or emotionally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like,
it just, didn't spark anything.
It didn't work because all the music would have to go backwards and, like.
Oh, you mean playing the game backwards?
No.
Okay.
This is all a lie.
Oh, it's, no, but hold on.
Wait.
Pretending it's truth. Pretending it's truth for a second, though.
Okay. Yep.
Because in my mind, when you said that, my thought isn't playing the game backwards and doing everything backwards. It's. The game is normal. The game is as it is.
Yeah.
Just the controller.
Yeah.
You have to press left to go right and press right to go left. But everything else is the same.
I was thinking the game's just mirrored.
Okay.
The game is exactly the same when Francis stands on the left and talks at one point in the new version. In the DLC, he'd be standing on the right.
Okay.
The game's literally just mirrored.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's exciting though.
But that is exciting. And it just didn't work conceptually.
Yeah, really hard for the tech team as well. Like, you know, how we've ran from left to right for so long. I don't know. It was like trying to learn to ride a bike if you were a horse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot in. I almost went serious for a second, and then I just like processed what you said.
You can go serious.
Okay.
This is a serious podcast.
It
right?
is a serious podcast.
Yeah.
And we've been serious the whole time. We haven't made any jokes. It's all been real life.
I am a very serious person.
I know that.
And I'm never sarcastic and I'm never funny.
No. I actually think you're really not funny.
Just the phrasing of that, really not funny.
It's like really bitchy, actually.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Yeah, it's good.
But on that note of something that you were literally never going to do,
yeah,
but made a joke about as something you wanted to do, The Artful Escape, it's got a lot in it. It's a visually and audibly astounding game.
Thank you.
With a lot to offer in a lot of crazy and kooky ways.
Mm-hmm.
Was anything left on the, was it cutting room floor. Is that what the phrase is?
Yeah, bits and pieces, but it was more like, it wasn't like the length was going to be super different or like the story was super different. It was just kind of like, you know, oh, at this point, maybe hop in a canoe. Mm. And I was like, oh, no, that's too hard. You could just run.
Yeah. Is there anything that wasn't included that you really wish was?
We were going to do skateboarding at the start of the game.
Ooh.
So at the start of the game, you hop on like a cable car and it's like the credits play and it's like a nice little lovely bit and stuff.
Yeah, up to the beautiful city. Town.
We can do town. But yeah, I think originally that was going to be skateboard either to the cable car. What's the word? I'm thinking of a... Is it a vernacular? The thing that goes up? Like it's a little weird like elevator thing? Vernacular?
See, I'm thinking two different words that mean neither of what you... I'm thinking vernacular, which is words, and I'm thinking vehicular, which is car-like. Car-like? Car-related.
Carmanship.
Like vehicular manslaughter.
Opposed to vernacular manslaughter.
Yeah, which is like when you kill someone...
With your words.
With your words.
Yeah. Isn't that your job?
My job.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're like a word killer.
Yeah, podcasts are actually very dangerous.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
And to listen to.
And to listen to.
And to listen to, yeah.
And even to participate in right now.
Yeah, you're in danger, girl.
I'm bleeding.
You're in danger, girl. You are.
I'm losing fluids.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Aren't we all? That's sweat, baby.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But yeah, it wasn't heaps that we didn't put in. Yeah, I think it was a pretty well wrapped up, you know? It was long enough.
Yeah. I mean, kind of on a broader level, what was your experience like working on Artful Escape?
I came in not super... I was kind of, I guess, the back third of the project when I kind of joined.
Sure.
So a lot of it was there, but it was kind of like if you had an ice cream and then it didn't have a cone, so it was just like in your hand. And you're like, still yum yum.
Yeah.
But maybe I could put it in something.
And you're the cone.
I'm the cone. I have like a wafer-like texture.
Mm. And so what did you actually do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
Well, at that point, they didn't have a dedicated producer, so I kind of helped them wrap up the game and get it out on time and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I still do.
Because now you're working on something else now, right?
That's right.
We don't have to talk about it.
I'm going to tell you a lot of things about it right now.
Yeah, sure.
No, Ruby.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Every time you try and eke details out of me.
And it's funny because I do it as a joke.
But I know it's not a joke.
But like, it's also like pure curiosity.
Yeah.
I just love learning.
I had to stop you before.
Yeah.
From going too far into the studio.
But I saw something.
What'd you say?
Stuff. Can't say. I'm being respectful, okay?
You actually didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything. I did not see shit. So Artful Escape is kind of arguably a pretty cool game, right?
I think so.
It is. It is. It's about rock and roll.
It is. It's about
self-expression.
It's about the discovery of oneself.
Mm.
Through the lens of insane alien rock and roll.
And family expectations.
Yeah.
But also expectations of people around you based on your family.
That's right.
It's a cool game. Our game's cool.
I think games are cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people still think they're just a dumb little kids thing.
Yeah.
Based on the fact whenever I say to someone that often games make, you know, not that everything's about money, but, you know, often games make more money or have more impact than films and TV and blah, blah. And people are like, oh, well, really? I'm like, yeah. Like, I just thought it was a little thing I put Roblox on for the kids.
Oh, Minecraft. Oh, Minecraft. Yeah.
So what do you do? Are you working on Call of Duty or something? Or that's what I get all the time.
Yeah. And do you?
Can't say.
Very good, very good. But yeah, you've been doing game stuff. You've been in the games industry for 10 years, yeah, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So you know, you've probably seen some things, right? Seen the industry shift, see stuff change. And have you seen the culture around and in games change much in the time of you being in the industry?
From like a consumer or like dev perspective?
Both.
Both. I think devs, definitely. Like people like, oh, you don't say to me, you don't look like a game developer. And I'm like, what does that mean? A, what does that mean?
Mm.
B, is that, am I saying thank you?
Mm.
I think people just realize they can just be the person that they are and then also make games. Opposed to like, I'm a game developer, so therefore I have to look like a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. I think people are just like, I'm going to look and be who I want to be and then also make games. Because it is a job.
It's a job.
It's a job.
I think there's this mindset that like, I think we've moved past the graphic t-shirt with the blazer.
Have we?
Have we? Ask yourself that question.
Have we?
Have we?
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. Do you think it's... Because, like, I guess the main question is, like, are games cool?
Games are cool.
Is the games industry cool?
Sometimes. I think it's cool when it's, like, supporting its workers and their labor and people are getting paid nice and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very cool when there's, like, big companies that make a bajillion dollars and then they're firing double-digit percentage of their staff. That's not very cool.
No.
Because that's not cool because that's like other industries and other ones that could be yucky, like tech or other stuff. I don't know.
But I mean, the games industry is a lot like the tech industry. I mean, like at large.
It is.
Because like you've got in the Australian game development industry, the indie one to be particular, because I think the AAA industry and the indie industry are very different.
They are.
Very different. And I think... from maybe your perspective, although I can't speak for you.
Please do.
Okay, I will. I think we're kind of blessed in a way, in the least spiritual way possible. We are blessed to kind of see a much cooler side of the game industry.
I agree.
But then when it comes to the news that we read, that is when we're exposed to the horrors.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, games on a whole, cool. Games developers on the whole, cool. We're artists, people. Well, most of us are artists and wanting to make stuff. I'm not including like CEO of big company who just wants to make the money.
Yeah.
Rhymes with, oh, I was going to say rhymes with something, but there's so many that I could say rhymes with something.
So yeah, so many.
I'm not going to bother.
Yeah. People, like if you, the listener, can think of a CEO of a games company who has not taken a pay cut and yet has laid off any percentage of staff, in your head right now, that's probably who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those
ones. One of them. One of the many.
But yeah, I mean, when I first was in uni and stuff, I was like, I want to go work at Blizzard.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
I react the same now. And then I guess just through...
Were you a WoW fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played WoW for too long.
Do you still play WoW?
I've been playing WoW Classic because I'm old. And my guild just broke up. So,
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I realized that maybe it's time to put myself out to pasture, if you will. But yeah, and I guess through like, it's cool seeing like, obviously, the whole Blizzard thing is obviously a nightmare for everyone involved. But it's cool to see like staff looking after each other and, you know, unionizing and things like that. And like after realizing that, hey, maybe Blizzard isn't cool because it's, you know, all this bad stuff that's going on.
Mm.
But then, yeah, then the other side of it is that, the actual devs are looking after each other and things like that and stuff. So
yeah.
Can it be cool and uncool?
I think so. I think that there's room for a multifaceted vibe.
It's cool in the sense that it's obviously art and fun and weird and interesting and can do things that make you go, oh, geez.
Golly.
Gosh. But then, I guess uncool in the sense that it's also just becoming like a big business farm like other stuff. But are we talking like on a pure like if you saw someone walking down the street and they had like a leather jacket and sunglasses and you're like, that's a cool person. Is that what you're saying to me? Like if looking at games I go, that's cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I mean people say that's cool when I meet someone and they're like, I'm like, oh, I make video games. They go, that's a cool job. I guess so.
Yeah. Well I mean like I feel because I do you think the perception of the average game developer has changed?
Slightly.
Like not how a game developer perceives, but rather how a game developer is perceived.
Yeah, 100%. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I reckon slightly, but not a lot.
Yeah.
I reckon regular person, Graham.
Yeah.
You know Graham.
Yeah, I know him.
He'd be like, oh, game dev. Oh, I don't know why he sounds like Bob Catter. Oh, I hope a thousand game dev bloom.
Fuck.
He'd be, I reckon he'd still be expecting his, he'd be like, oh, game dev, it's going to be a white dude with a beard and glasses.
So Gus.
Got him.
I got him. Love you, Gus.
You know what I mean, though?
Yep.
But I think it's changed a little bit in and for the better, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely has. And I think you're seeing a lot more people of color in the industry. You're seeing a lot more women in the industry, a lot more queer people in the industry, which is very cool, very awesome. So definitely, it definitely has changed a lot. And I guess the audience kind of has too.
Totally.
I feel like we've definitely moved past, it's been a while. We've moved past the games are for boys.
Yeah, we've moved past that. I think we've moved past indie games of little shitty games. It's like, maybe indie games are actually better than AAA games most of the time.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Maybe.
It's a weird thing of like, I play a lot more indie games than I do AAA.
Yes.
A lot more. But I saw just a comment, and like comments are stupid. All comments are, every time there's a comment section, it's a disaster.
Unless it's a Google review.
Unless it's a Google review for like a public toilet.
A public toilet.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Like 5 stars. I shitted here.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
1 star.
It was open.
Lock didn't work.
Couldn't lock the door. Did it wide open. 5 stars.
It's always stunted sentences. Like someone's like, they're cross or they're in a rush while they're doing it.
Or they're like on their way to the bathroom.
Or they're literally there doing it. It's like a live review. They're like,
can't talk.
Yeah, can't talk, busy.
On the toilet.
Toilet paper already wet.
Yeah.
4 stars.
I love public toilet reviews. See, at the end of every episode, I usually read a review of the podcast.
Oh, that's good.
But there are only so many, right? So I'm thinking of starting to read reviews of various public toilets.
Public toilets are good. Parks are good.
Yeah.
Just because like someone's like, oh, it was a bit windy.
Yeah. Grass not short enough.
Yeah. Grass a bit long.
Yeah.
The shade wasn't in the right spot.
Saw someone getting fingered. So 4 stars.
4 stars.
It's a good time. Everyone was having fun in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Where do we go? I saw a comment. That was it. I saw a comment and it was like, it was on a YouTube video for a trailer of a game, an indie game.
Yep.
And someone left a comment being like, oh, another L shitty indie game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a small indie game. It was like, it had a publisher.
Yeah.
And it was, what do they call it? Not double A.
Yeah, double I.
Double I, that's it. It was, you know, high quality indie. And I think it might have been like from a Nintendo Direct. And someone was like, oh, another shitty indie game. And like, to see that mindset, I am so stumped by.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's just comments in general, right? It's like, here's this thing that I'm not enjoying. Better make sure I tell everyone that I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because that'll be good.
Yeah.
I read the other day that Cocoon that just came out.
Yes.
Is getting like review bombed. Not for like any, the game doesn't have any issues. I mean, from what, I haven't played it yet, but it looks fantastic. And it's reviewing, getting great reviews and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, as it should, it's made by, I forget his name.
Monument Valley people, right?
Limbo Man.
Oh, Limbo. That's it. Limbo and Inside.
Yes.
I got too mixed up.
People are review bombing it because they're like, I'm sick of indie games like this, which is like, okay.
What?
Go off. Live your life. But also like, what are you review bombing for?
I
don't get it.
I can't fathom reviewing a game that you haven't played.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even mean like, you know, as a former, well, I still kind of do it, but a video game reviewer.
Yeah.
I don't mean doing a 2,000 to 4,000 word review on a game. I don't mean that, but I mean literally just like going to Metacritic and putting a review in for something other than how the game actually plays. It doesn't make sense to me because I have better things to do in my day.
Yeah.
And I'm so busy, right?
Yeah. And like this game hadn't even been out and then like done something controversial. Like it wasn't like the whole Overwatch thing of when they went like, oh, that whole point of Overwatch 2, we're not going to do that anymore. So then of course the game is pop off.
Yeah.
This game hadn't done anything. It just come out. And people are like,
indie game.
Indie game? Oh, another one?
And it's crazy because it's such a cool concept of like you're carrying the world around in your backpack.
It's like a very unique concept. And like, oh, another one like this? And it's like, have you played it? I mean, clearly not.
Clearly not, right? Review bombing I think is fucking stupid. There was there's another game, Party Animals, that came out very, very recently. Just came out on Game Pass and shit like that. And on Steam, it was getting review bombed because they mistakenly said, I think they just worded something wrong. So then people thought there was going to be offline single player or like it was really confusing, but basically it was just like a miswording that ended up they had to fix it and be like, we met, like you can play local co-op and you can play online co-op. But you just can't do this certain type of co-op, which I'm pretty sure was almost like LAN, like local, local wireless. I think that's what people mistook. I might be wrong, but it was a miswording.
Mm.
And it now it's got like,
well, that's the greatest of crimes.
Yeah. Is saying something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Is saying,
you say one little thing wrong.
The game has this, but saying it in the wrong way and then it's suddenly a huge problem.
It's like when, you know, when you hang out with someone and they mispronounce something.
Yes.
Like they put the emphasis on the wrong syllables or something like that. And then everyone.
What did you just say?
Huh?
Did I have a stroke?
No.
What did you say?
It was like part of the joke.
Yeah, but like what did you.
Emphasis on the wrong, on the wrong syllables.
Okay, no, I get it. Because I didn't, I just kind of like, I was looking you dead in the eyes and I.
You did. I thought you were doing a bit.
Is it a bit? Maybe.
Or when someone has, you know, when someone has like that little air bubble in their throat?
Yes.
And their voice goes like.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
And they try and talk through it and everyone notices.
Everybody knows.
And everyone's like.
Do what you need to do.
Yeah.
What, like, I've just forgotten like what you need to do. You just swallow, right?
Yeah.
Or like pop it. Cough. It's like a weird.
You gotta do a little cough. You're like.
Don't cough on the microphone.
What? It was like away from it.
My God, the disrespect. I'm sorry.
They're not even nice microphones.
Yes, they are. You literally said just before we were recording, these are nice microphones. They're heavy, so you can tell.
Yeah, that was before you had a go at me about my nice about my nice cough.
Oh, so it's retaliatory.
It's got tape all over it.
Yeah.
Like it's broken or something.
So you know which one's which. It's colored tape.
Couldn't you just put like, can you just write red on it? So instead of putting red tape.
So you're telling us to write on microphones instead of putting it on something that could easily be taken off.
Yeah.
Well, that would detract from its value.
I'm going to review bomb this microphone.
This microphone? No, not the podcast.
Not the podcast. No, the podcast is fine.
Podcast is fine. It's good. It's good. Yeah. Is there anything you've been playing recently that you've really been enjoying?
Baldur's Gate 3, obviously.
Of course.
I
think you're the third or fourth person to talk about Baldur's Gate.
I think everyone is because it's just really good.
Yeah.
It just captures D&D so well. No matter what you do, whether you fuck something up or you do it wrong or right or whatever, you still get like good content, which I think is the ultimate triumph of that game. Because I get people's saves come and want to see things and do things, and I understand because I do it a little bit too. But yeah, I like kind of just being like, oh, well, that happened.
Well, that just happened.
Yeah, and then just going, okay.
Yeah.
I've been playing Titanfall 2 again.
How's that?
Well, they fixed it.
Okay.
It was the servers didn't work for like 6 years.
Yeah.
It was like broken. And then I was like, this is a good game. So I've been playing that again, which is fun.
Is that EA?
Respawn. EA.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great game.
Great game.
Running, big robot, come down, hop in.
Love that.
Fun. Played Starfield.
What'd you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you enjoy many Bethesda games?
I like Skyrim.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to. Everyone knows the issues with Starfield. It's fine.
Yeah. I think there's a really interesting thing with Starfield of like, some people really, really love it.
Yep. Love that for them.
And get all the way through it and keep playing.
Yep.
Some people kind of like it and get all the way through it.
Yeah.
And then some people do not care much for it and put about 20 hours in.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm in that little 20 hour.
Yeah.
Spot.
I think it's the thing of just like, most people going into a Bethesda game know that it's going to take a bit of time to really get into it.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of sticking around until you get to that point And if at that point it hits you that, oh, now I'm enjoying this.
Now it's good.
Then you can keep going.
Yeah.
But if you hit that point and you go, oh, you know what? It didn't hit.
Yeah. It's it's the crux point.
And that's 20 hours in.
Yes. What else have I been playing? Oh, I've got Cocoon installed. I need to play that.
Yeah.
I'm playing Inscription again.
Yeah.
Because it's just the best.
Yeah.
And what was some? Oh, Dredge.
Dredge. Oh God, what a game.
I know I'm not really on the pulse right now, but that's fine.
I have been playing Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yep, excellent.
Again, because I just love that game. I genuinely think of every game that's been released on Switch, Luigi's Mansion 3 is in the top 5. Easy. Yeah. Easy peasy. I think it's an expertly made game.
Does it have a tagline that's like something like a pun around like sucks? Like it's like this game sucks.
I think it's quote Luigi.
That was really good.
Thank you. Cool. But I've also been playing Storyteller, which is such a fun, lovely little game.
We spoke about this the other day and I was like, I know that one, but I also don't know it because there's lots of games.
There's just so many games in the world. Yeah. And Storyteller is really, really cute. It's kind of reminds me, maybe it's, I connect a lot of things based on little things. So like I played Beacon Pines, absolutely fucking loved it. I feel like that was an underrated game that people talked about for a little bit when it came out and then stopped talking about, but I think everybody should talk about it.
You told me to play that one, I think.
I did. Yeah. Beacon Pines is amazing. And just visually, oh, you know, incredible. But Storyteller is a game where you're given this book and then with each page there's a different story and you have to use different elements to finish the story.
Yes, I know this one.
So you're given a storyline like heartbreak then death.
Yep.
And then you have to go from the options you've got are wedding, forest, death, or something like that. Wedding, death. And then you've got man, lady.
Biscuit.
And then you have to put them in the right places. You've got a set amount of panels that you can use and you have to put them in the right places, add the right extra bits and pieces to make the storyline make sense with what's being put on the page.
Did this come out around the same time as Pentiment?
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah, I get them confused.
Yes, yeah.
I'm like, game that looks like storybook and you do story things.
But old-timey storybook, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I feel like that was another one that kind of just, it's having its comeuppance recently on, I think, TikTok.
Pentiment.
No, Pentiment was fantastic and everybody loved it, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I loved it. I thought Pentiment was so
great.
Cool.
Yeah, it was good.
But Storyteller, people are playing it a lot. Like Cozy Gamers are playing it a lot on Twitch and TikTok. Yeah. And it's just such a neat game. It's part of Netflix Games.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool. I've been playing a lot of that. But yeah, video games, right?
Yeah. Are they cool? Are they cool, Ruby?
Yeah, thank you for asking me. I think they are. I think the perception of them has changed a lot.
Yeah. Which we agree on. Yeah.
I think...
Make sure you agree with everything I said, though.
I agree.
Because I don't want to look silly.
I agree. I agree that you don't want to look silly.
I don't want to look silly in like a mental sense and on my words, but also physically. I don't want to look silly.
You've always looked great.
Should I take this nose off?
Do you want me to put like in a honk honk sound effect?
Yeah. Like a little...
Yeah, I can do that. Absolutely.
Yeah. What about these big shoes that I'm wearing?
Yeah. I can put in the squeaky shoes. Absolutely. You don't look silly now that you've taken off your nose and shoes.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't wearing socks.
Now your toes are out.
Yeah, and they're really sweaty.
And they're sweaty and they're wiggling around. They're making like a cartoonish noise.
Let's say the dogs fell in the pond.
Yes.
They're sweaty.
Yeah. Yeah. The dog. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, when the dogs fall in the pond.
Yeah. Dogs are in the pond and they stink.
You got to give them a wash afterwards.
Dogs, wet dogs stink.
I kind of like it.
Like a wet dog smell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When my dog gets wet, I'm like, I look at him and go, you're a little stinky boy.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yes.
And you're like, whoa, when did you start to talk?
But also, yes.
Yes. Very good. Well, Woody, how can we find you, learn more about, you know, whatever you're doing?
I'm not really using Twitter anymore.
That's so valid.
X, whatever it's called. Sorry. Mm. So I'm not doing anything there.
Yeah, fair.
So I don't know. Just keep an eye out for, I guess, the next game that we make, Beethoven and Dinosaur. I guess we'll talk about that in like a more global sense at some point and we'll tell people about it, but that's not now.
Yeah. But in the meantime, is Artful Escape still on Game Pass?
No, I think it came off Game Pass. I think it's on, it's part of the PlayStation subscription now.
Sick. Yeah. PlayStation
Plus.
Plus Deluxe.
Yeah.
Or Extra.
Whichever those ones is. I think it's on that. It's definitely on them normally as well. It's on Switch and it's on Steam. And it's a great little time. It only takes like 5 hours. It's great. It's a nice little experience. Yeah.
Check out The Artful Escape.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Do I get to review a toilet?
Yes. Just right now. Review one.
Oh, any?
Yeah.
It's good.
Which one?
I don't know. You put me on the spot. I got nervous thinking of toilets.
Okay. And that's that.
Bye now.
And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review? And hey, if you really like what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon, where you can get access to our lovely Discord full of all sorts of buds. And if you support us at the silver tier and above, you can get access to even more audio content just like this. You can also find us on Twitch, where we've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m. AEDT, and on TikTok, where we're constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. And then there's the socials, a la Twitter and Threads and whatnot, which you're also welcome to get around. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in, and as me, but in Melbourne, would say, bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.